News Talk 1110 presents Garden Talk with Doug Stott. Central Oregon has unique soil and climate conditions, and Doug is just the man to answer your questions. Call him this morning at 388-1110. The phone will ring until he picks up and puts you on the air. 388-1110, or you can email your comments, talk@kbnd.com. Now, Garden Talk, only on News Talk 1110 KBND.
Good morning to you. This is Doug Stott from the Redmond Greenhouse in here on a beautiful, slightly, gently breezy Saturday morning. Clear blue skies. A little cooler this morning. Dang. You'd think we were moving on in the calendar. That's kind of what you'd think, and very well could be. But for those of you that have those big green plants out there with the big green globes on them, you're getting a little nervous. I sense it. I do sense your nervousness out there. But if, I don't know, kind of the way the story goes, there's always nervousness before the big storm hits, and I'll call the storm the ripening of the tomatoes, that, you know, we're still holding on tight. And so the side note to the story is make sure you're pulling back that water a little bit, not to stress them out, but you got to pull that water back. You just got to do that. That's the most important thing for those of you that have tomatoes out there that are in the big panic is pull that water back a little bit. And, you know, even some of the other things that I mentioned last week or so, clipping the blossoms, clipping small fruit, getting it out of there, making sure no more sucker growth emerges from the plant, those things will... It's going to help, but the most significant thing is pull back that water a little bit, but maintain that moisture content in there. But certainly, if you think you've been overwatering, then you definitely need to pull it back. This will certainly hasten the ripening process. But, and again, not bragging, living in Terrebonne, my tomato plants just in the last week took a significant change. I'll tell you, because I have been nibbling on tomatoes here for some time now. But the last week really did start to do some significant changes. As the days get shorter, we start to get a little cooler, and that did offer me some significant hope, because I also felt that I was kind of behind the eight ball, and I've been eating tomatoes, but no big mass rush going to the market and setting up a fruit stand on the side of the road. But they are changing, and that's a good thing. So, yeah, but seasons, they are changing. My gosh. We're into another month, and away we go. And in most areas, we have not had frost. And again, I hand out the sympathy for those folks that got hung up in some of the storms that have come by. Very typical of high desert, a little later than usual, which actually, if your garden gets taken out by one of the harsh blows of Mother Nature that she can deal in high desert areas in the terms of the turbulence from very dramatic storms, wind, rain, hail, it's, you know, the deeper you go, the later it is, the more painful it will be, because of course you're so much closer to so much of the harvest. This time of the year is when things are really, I mean, rocking and rolling. They should be just pulling things out of the garden. Flowers should be just, at their very peak, really rattling right along. Herbs, of course, have kicked in, doing their thing. I've got a basil plant at home. My gosh, thing must be 2 feet tall. Sort of the lettuce leaf basils. I have quite a few basil plants. I do like basil. I know Julia kind of struggles with the basil just a little bit, but hey, we got to move on with. But everything is just really, really taking out in stride and trying to keep up with everything, keeping it watered, monitoring for insects. I don't think, off talking insects, but now we switch gears, talking about disease, I don't think we have had the amount of powdery mildew this year as we have had in past seasons. I have not had the number of calls and or leaves that have been brought in for diagnostic reasons and identifying it as the powdery mildew. Don't think it's happened. I'm not really sure if it was the higher temperatures, the dryness, minus, of course, the storms that blew through here. So it may be the little bit warmer than usual temperatures, and the you know, of course, it's always dry here in the desert, you know, minus the storms that do go through. But that could have a significant reason. Or there may be more people that are, I shared with you, that I talked a lot about it early in the season, the product called Actinovate. That's that organic systemic fungicide of drenching the plants when you plant them and then subsequent sprays thereafter. And I'm not sure, we sold quite a little bit. I don't know about other garden centers out there. I'm going to assume so, that maybe this had a significant impact on the controlling the powdery mildew. I don't know. But anyway, you know, at a garden center, we typically pick up on, you know, when there's little hot spots out there because the phones ring, people bring samples in, and there's issues. And I don't think that we had quite the issues. I also don't think we had quite as many issues with spider mites this year, which was very unusual. I mean, there we still had our fair share, don't get me wrong. And when we have high temperatures and relatively low humidity, oh, man, spider mites can be very devastating. And they get into, of course, an assortment of trees and shrubs. And most go very much undiagnosed. You just can't see them. They are that small. We've pointed that out before. Point of a pin, not the head of the pin, the point of a pin. That's the size of the spider mite. You have to almost have a 30x lens, which is something that I've always recommended that you have in your gardening box to help you identify miscellaneous problems in the garden. But I don't think so. I don't think we had as many issues. Still on the issue alert side are the white-barked birch trees. Again, a reminder of that one. Wow. You know, if you've got them, and if you have them in any size, you've got to be treating them with a systemic drench or an injection. We sell this little bullet that you can actually drill a small hole. No, it's not a big hole, just a tiny little hole, and tap this little bullet in there. And it also works as a systemic control for that boring insect that will get in there, and it will cause excessive branch dieback, the top dying out of your birch tree. There's still a fair number of birch trees in this area. The epidemic is still going strong. And if you've not been brought aware of this, gosh, I hope you're listening and you pay attention, because it is of epidemic proportion, and you potentially will lose your large birch tree if you're not treating it. It's that bad in this area, so you gotta pay attention to that one. So that still rages on. But other than that, you know, I think it's been a relatively good year for most people in their flowers, their veggies. So on and so forth. We've had some storms that came through. You know, to those folks that sustained heavy wind damage, if you haven't been out there and surveyed your garden or landscape and you feel that you were in the brunt of, you know, some of the wind storms that came through, you may want to take a little casual stroll out in your garden landscape and make sure that all branches are still attached and not dangling and hanging where they may have got ripped and torn from the structure of the tree. This happens a lot. And then you'll have to, you know, get up there and remove, especially any of the danglers out there. It's a little late to be doing any pruning at this time of the year. Pruning, of course, will stimulate new growth. That's not what we want to be doing here in the merry month of September. It's too late. You should cease and desist also. Roses, if you got roses, I think it is also. I would no longer do any pruning on roses. I would just go ahead and let them go. And if you can, I think it would be wise and prudent to adjust your time clock just a little bit, and you need to reduce the water on your shrubs. Not necessarily the lawn. Water your lawn as needed. But if you can, if you have individual stations on your time clock, or certainly if you're hand watering, you should be able to do this, you need to be pulling back the water a little bit. And by all means, no synthetic fertilizers being applied at this time of the year, as they can somewhat still stimulate growth that will go on, which again is going to be subject to, you know, the changing of the guard, the changing of the season, the cooler weather coming in, and you start to get some new growth coming out there, which again, that is exactly what pruning does. It's going to be taken out, and that's hard on the plant. So if you can, I'd like you to pull back the water a little bit. I always get nervous when I start talking about this, because I'm afraid someone will just pull the plug on their irrigation system, and subsequently it's still warm, it's still dry, and you're going to have issues. But I'd like you to pull it back a little bit. And a special note to those of you that have burning bushes that have struggled in the past in getting them to give that spectacular eye-popping color out there, that red, you got to do it. You got to pull the water back. And by all means, I you know, hope that you have been able to avoid applying certainly the overspray of a synthetic chemical lawn fertilizer out there that is a higher nitrogen. In other words, if we got higher nitrogen that is supplied to these plants, it's really going to have them struggling and trying to get fall color. So in other words, you're stressing them a little bit with our intervention of having irrigation systems that run all the time. We're kind of a little bit out of step with Mother Nature. But, you know, it serves us well because we want our gardens and landscapes looking good. And this is still the key. But you've got to pull the water back. So if you can, if you have the ability, I'd like you to go to your time clock and pull back the water a little bit from the shrub beds and not necessarily the lawn. I mean, you may look at your lawn, too, and you may say, hey, you know, we're starting to fall off a little bit. Days are, if you haven't noticed, the days are a lot shorter now. The lawn is really shouldn't be taking all the water that it was about a month ago. It shouldn't happen. We've cooled down to a certain degree, just like this morning. I mean, it's down there. There are probably areas of frost out there in certain areas as we go South County. So I think you can adjust that. That's going to save you money. It's going to save water, and it's going to create healthier landscapes. So again, if you can, or call your landscaper and or maintenance individual, have him take a look at the clock and see how your garden and landscape are zoned up. And if you can, we're going to pull back the water a little bit. On down the road, then, once everything is kind of set in and we start to get those late summer, fall colors start to roll in the landscape, the deeper we go, then sometimes you can go back in there as we get closer to winter where we think we're going to be shutting it down. Then you can sometimes increase the water again and make sure that you send your landscape into winter in a very soaked up condition. And this way it will eliminate the potential for winter dehydration that sometimes and so many times will prove very costly and very deadly in the spring of the season when some of your plants don't come back because we did not achieve the precipitation rate that came down to keep these plants nourished in terms of water. So, yeah, sometimes you kind of just like, oh, this is way too confusing, you know. But hopefully I'm kind of laying it out here so it will roll onto the gray matter and you understand how I'm kind of laying this thing out here, and you can take control of the controller and have a healthier landscape and certainly more fall colors, because this will help trigger the fall colors in there. And speaking of fall colors, a lot of calls, what's that tree out there that's kind of green and it's leafy and it has these orange and or red berries on it? What is that tree? The mountain ash. If you've been wondering what that tree is, good tree for this area. The older versions of the mountain ash, sometimes we had a few issues in there. A disease known as fire blight, deadly stuff, can cause some problems with that particular tree. It can. And sometimes you'll see a little bit of peeling on the bark. Sometimes you'll just see maybe a particular branch that will start to go down. Sometimes you'll see the whole tree start to go down. It could be this fire blight, which is a disease. Tough one to control. Copper spray seems to work relatively well if you catch it early enough. But if you are the proud owner of one of these magnificent trees, and they are, and a great wildlife tree, my gosh, they're just amazing. Dark green and a little bit of an orange sometimes on the bark. I mean, they're just a spectacular tree. And then these orange berries just giving you eye-popping color out there. Watch closely to make sure that everything is going well. Well-fed, well-watered, well-maintained. If you feel you have an issue, you may want to take some pictures, bring some samples in, take them into your local garden center, extension service, and let's make sure you don't have a little fire blight going on. Because if you do, we want you to get very active in applying copper spray, the organic Actinivate. There's a couple of others out there that probably have listings for fire blight, and you're going to make repeat applications, at least 3, 1 week apart. And then once we go pretty much dormant late in the season, I would have you do another series, at least 1 or 2 sprays. And then, of course, again, 2014, come spring, we're going to be addressing it again at the same time. So you have to get very aggressive because it is an aggressive disease. And a little bit on the runaway side when it really gets kicked in. A lot of times people don't acknowledge that they have issues until, I mean, it's in its advanced stages. And again, you know, it's just the best we can do is hope to arrest it so it doesn't spread any further. So tough thing, but definitely, as always, anytime we have any plant that is under duress, concentrate very heavily and do your uttermost best in providing good deep watering and good solid sound nutrition. Makes a big difference out there. Well, cruising right along, and just as a little note here, we are going to be cut short about 30 minutes today. The pregame of the Ducks will be coming on, I believe, Julia has shared with me that that's around 8:30, so I'm going to have to talk relatively quickly to get all the information out. So anyway, we're cruising along, but we better take our first little break here. Beautiful morning out there as you rise up and shine, and it just is, yeah, just spectacular as it always is. So, hey, step out the door, smile at your neighbor, and embrace the morning. It's here. Great Saturday. We'll be back in a flash. And we are Doug Stoff of the Redmond Greenhouse, and this show brought to you in part by Redmond Greenhouse. Hey, you know, days are getting shorter, getting a little cooler. We are re-entering a great planting time of the season. Yeah, beautiful time. So if you're thinking about adding a little shrub or two that's going to give you some fall color, adding a shrub or two or tree, you know, and you think, I better wait a little bit longer. No, let's not wait. Let's do it. Let's get right to it. Phenomenal time to plant. Still warm, lovely, amazing. Plants are pretty much done growing about this time of the year. Plants put in the ground, shall we say today, are going to be well rooted out, extremely well rooted out at this time of the year. By the time winter comes, and thus their chances for survival have just been, just multiplied times. I have no idea how many times. So great time to plant. Got some great sales going on at the same time. And out in the edible part of the garden, guess what time it is? It's garlic time. And Redmond Greenhouse has just received our shipment of organic and heirloom varieties of garlic. Yeah, a lot of different varieties of garlic. And we bring in several. Plus, we have the elephant garlic. And for those over in the culinary department as well, shallots. Yeah. Got some, they grow well in this area. Now is the time. You're getting those in the ground, and they get a chance to get their little toes established and many times poke up their little green sprouts up there. Hey, that's fine. Well before winter sets in, and this is the time to do it. I realize many of you plant garlic in the spring. It's okay. We offer starts, and we get you there. But the best time is now, and that's why Redmond Greenhouse has brought in garlic and shallots, and we're ready to plant. So, great time to plant, wonderful time of the season. You can so much enjoy it. You won't get springtime like this. This is wonderful weather. So, take advantage of some of the great sales. Return of the planting season, Redmond Greenhouse, the place to go. Well, the sun's shining. Beautiful morning. Good morning to you out there. It is just an amazing morning out there. But we all sense it. Days are getting shorter. Julia.
Yes, they are.
They're getting shorter. You know? Dang. I got up, which I do, around 5 o'clock in the morning, headed on out to get the mail. And, I need my headlamp.
Yes, you do. I got up earlier than you this morning, so it was dark. But there has been time, you know, when I'm fussing around before I leave, and I leave about a little after 4:30 to come in here.
Right.
And I turn out the light, and you know, just a few weeks ago when I turned out the light, there was a dim glow.
Yeah, yeah.
Dark.
Not so much anymore. Yeah. Still nice morning. A little cooler this morning though. A little cooler.
Oh, it's still in the low 40s now.
Yeah.
I just checked the weather. I found some hidden surprises in my garden. Yes, I brought in for you. I'm like, what the heck are these? they're tomatoes that I had no idea what they are, and I can't find the little tag.
And they were just, one of those. Yeah. Yellow tomatoes. A lot of people like the yellow tomatoes, lower in acidity.
You brought me one of those last week.
Yeah.
which is, of course, gone.
Yeah, devoured. It was a big old boy. How was that?
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Big tomatoes. But the yellow ones, I have, and I'll bring you, if I get organized, I'll bring you one, a white tomato.
White?
Yeah. Yeah, I of course, I think I've most
Did you eat one?
No, I haven't eaten yet. They haven't got ripe yet. They're not ready to go yet, but they're coming. I looked at them. They're changing. I'm just ready to go. So I've eaten.
Wow.
Yeah.
There must be no acid in those.
I don't know. Never had one. So we'll see.
Now, part of that big old boy you brought me last week, I made a salad with just the cucumber and big chunks of tomato.
And onions and stuff.
Yeah, beets and just threw a little vinaigrette on it.
Tasty.
Very good.
Yeah. Got to enjoy it because, the seasons are, when we got, I think it's what, two Saturdays away, I think is the first day of autumn, I believe. I can stand corrected.
You don't have your glasses on, but I'm saying you could check the calendar behind you. But
Yeah,
I think that's true. And, and every night before I go to bed, I look at the weather. Is it going to freeze tonight? And Lapine, I think, is getting some freezing.
I think so, too. There have been some pockets out there. Yeah. So, but... It's that time of the year. You already noticed. I noticed here first of last week all the postings on Facebook because I get a lot of people that follow Redmond Greenhouse and myself also, and all the posts, all the kids showing their school attire, going back to school.
My
little babies leaving the nest. Oh my gosh! And some of them, of course, first grade and kindergarten, and then of course some are going to high school, and some are sad. Their kids are headed off to college. So
it's tough.
The world does not stop; it continues to turn.
You were talking about things changing. I had to cut down my bee balm. It was done.
Done.
So that was sad.
Do you have any powdery mildew on it?
I did not.
Ah, lucky girl.
Yeah. It was nice, but I still have some hummingbirds flying around going, where to go?
Yeah. They like to hang around for the longest of time. Yeah.
I have some foxglove that have put out some new bells.
Oh, cool.
So they're hanging out there.
So they still got a little something to nibble on. Cool. Yeah. All right.
Besides the feeders that I have.
And you're going to be cut a little short this morning, just a note to...
So short that I'll be non-existent this week and next again.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen is Financial Focus was bumped up from 8:30 to 10:30 because the pregame for the Ducks comes on at 10:30. They have a two-hour pregame. So, Cooking with Julia on the back burner for a few weeks.
All right. Maybe we'll catch a little... gourmet gardening here someplace in between my show here.
I'll jump in because I did stick on the Cooking with Julia page at our website kbnd.com. I put a couple of recipes on there. I'm going to try to do that every week regardless of having being on the air, but
all right well, and over in your department a little
what, we better get some news.
Better get to rolling. And back in we are, Doug Stott for the Redmond Greenhouse. Good morning to you out there. As you rise up this morning, you're going to be greeted with just a spectacular late summer day. Hey, it's kind of saying late summer, but I don't know what else I can say because that's kind of where we're at. As I was chatting with Julia just a moment ago, I think it's just a couple of Saturdays away that the first day of autumn will be here. Of course, we're in if history repeats itself, and don't we love that? We should be blessed and graced with some spectacular weather that will share with us those good times through this month, September, as well as October, and many times into November. November and December, that can be bonus round, but many times it can happen. And the way that things have kind of changed climatically around just a little bit, it could be. We could have some wonderful weather. So I guess we'll just... stay tuned. We'll just monitor this on a Saturday-by-Saturday basis, and away we go. But everyone certainly enjoying it very much. I was, last night, I invited the elder son, wife, and the two grandchildren over for a garden BLT, a second one of the season. Oh, my gosh. And the elder son came over a little earlier, and we were sitting out on the patio, and we both reflected like, enjoy these times. You never know when they could start to wane just a little bit. And that, of course, is always so true in just about all aspects of life. Enjoy, you know, the moment. Enjoy that moment. You never know when it can be taken away. Ah, no wiser words are always said. So we sat there and certainly enjoyed our time, our conversation, watched a few butterflies, handful of hummingbirds. My gosh, and I did a good job. I did a good job here on the flowers this year. Sometimes I have, yeah, you should slap my hand. I'm afraid I've become a little negligent when it comes to flower planting at my hacienda. Yeah, I'm more into the herbs and the edibles, the consumables. And I just fail to pay very strong attention to the flowers. But I did a good job this year as I wrapped around. I got kind of a stream that goes around through the patio, around by the patio. And there's a little border there that, yeah, I suppose I could squeeze in some more, probably more tomato plants. But I did a good job and worked up the soil good this year and planted just a host of flowers in there. And just love white. You know, I've shared this with you many times. I think white so many times goes ungrabbed on the shelves of garden centers around, and we opt more for the pinks, the blues, the reds, you know, some of the new colors, etc. And away we go. And white is just, you know, it just is such an amazing color. It just it allows all the other colors to show up so much better. So I planted this it's kind of a small mini famous type of calibacoa, mini bells and whatnot, small flowered multi-flora petunia that was white. And it just, you know, I kind of dashed those in and out and around along with a little bit of gray dusty miller and a couple of other gray foliage plants. And I tell you, it just makes all the difference in the world. And in the evening, I think they're just an extra aura of spectacularness that white will share in your garden. So if you haven't done so in the past, baskets, hanging baskets, patio planters, and your beds and borders, you give it a little shot. In fact, one of these days when you feel real daring, you can go, if you have a smaller yard, you might try to just incorporate blues and whites in the garden. I think you'll just be amazed at just the performance and the look of that garden. And at nighttime, it just takes on a whole new look out there. And some of you I know have been dabbling a little bit, because I hear this word more often, is dealing with the monochromatics, okay? And where you're putting all the colors are kind of all blended in there a little bit, all, you know, yellows, all the yellow colors in there, anywhere from very subtle to some extremely egg yolk, barnyard chicken egg yolk, bright yellow flowers in there. And wow, it can make such a difference. And then, of course, then you wander into the ornamental grass department. I don't know. I mean, have you looked lately at some of the ornamental grasses that are out there? I tell you, we got one in here the other day, and it is, yes, it is very hardy. And I'm now, as you know, I'm spontaneous. I never planned this. So I'm sorry. I don't know the name of this one grass. It's almost black, and it's going to get up big. It's going to be similar to the Carl Forrester, which is so highly sought after as an ornamental grass for this area. It is a century out there in so many landscapes and borders. It does not sucker. It does not run. It stays in a clump. It gets conservatively at least up to 3 feet tall, and or I've seen some 5-6 feet tall in areas where the soil has really been ramped up considerably. Just dramatic structure in there. I've seen them put into hedges as individual centuries in a specimen. Well, this black, almost black grass, including black seed head, will be, I think, just a phenomenal feature. So again, if you have not had the option of wandering through the local garden center and checking out the ornamental grasses, hey, we have moved well beyond just the blue fescue, which was a mainstay in a lot of gardens and landscape. And I like that grass, but I gotta say that, you know, and there's new varieties out there too. Oh wow, there's some that are just, I mean, the intensity of the blue is just, I like, wow. I mean, it is really something. But I have a little fault with that grass, is that it does, as a lot of us boys do, we get to balding a little prematurely. In other words, that grass, all of a sudden you look out, and after it's been in sometimes just 1 year, but usually it's 2 or 3 years down the road, that you have all these little kind of tufts. That it's not aggressive spreading. Don't get me wrong there if you're new to the grass. But it kind of woofs out a little bit, and the center is all bald. It kind of falls apart at the seams, and thus it does not lend itself to the spectacular nature that it did when you first put in that blue ornamental grass. And it's a great grass. I mean, it just is very, very nice. Doesn't get tall. I've had people put it in as lawns and utilized in the garden and or landscape beds and borders there. Look, just looks beautiful. And that blue color is very nice. Blue is always a good color in desert areas where it gets very hot. And you look out there and you see the blue out there and just like, that just feels better. Yes, it does. But there is a little fall with that. Some of the newer varieties are a little bit better in the balding. But you can avoid this by periodically. You can dig up those, if it starts to fall apart a little bit, in the spring of the season, not the fall. And again, I'm going to put emphasis on this because most of what you see that is out there for public viewing and listening is they're talking about digging up and dividing and doing all this stuff in the fall. I'm sorry, I disagree. In cold, climated areas, I think we're going to wait until April, May to do so. Because when you dig up and you divide at this time of the year, I'm not saying disaster will be yours, but you definitely ratchet up the cost because the plants do not have enough time to mend. They get calloused over the roots, all right? And to get a new set of feeder roots and water roots well enough established to avoid the potential for winter dehydration. And thus, that's why so many of us have seen, and that is why I quickly came to a conclusion that I need to share with these people that I think it is better to do so in the spring for those of us that live in the cold climated areas, as we do. And so there you go. So in April, May, you dig it up. The plant can be expressing new growth coming out, peonies, rhubarb, blue fescue. I mean, you know, new. So the plant is, wow, we are at the very peak of energy. In the springtime, I don't think there's a higher surge of energy than in the springtime when it just like us, when it starts to warm up a little bit and the crocus are popping and the daffodils are singing and the tulips are getting ready to do their do-si-do. We're talking energy that is hard to control. So you're digging up this plant. This plant is just, it just wants to survive so bad. You divide it, clean it up a little bit, replant it again. The weather's warming up. It gets ready to go, has all this energy stored up inside of it. You're starting to water now, and we start to get hopefully maybe a few spring rains, and voila. I think your successfulness in dividing and moving plants around, spring is the time, April, May, not fall. So I really double emphasized this because a lot of the information is geared towards where the population masses are and usually not as cold climated areas as ours, such as, you know, the Willamette Valley. And so that fits nicely for those folks because they get the rains, they get the moisture during the winter, but you got to remember here, ooh, doggies, sometimes we are running way short of moisture and it just doesn't turn out so good. And again, this show is put together for your success, not your failures. And that's just one of the tips that we share with you when you pull in a little bit of garden talk on Saturday morning. Well, with that, slow her down again for another spot here from some of our important sponsors. We'll be back in a flash. Back in we are, Doug Stott of the Redmond Greenhouse. Good morning to you out there. Let's go right to the phone line to see who's out there. Good morning and welcome to Garden Talk.
Well, good morning, and it is a beautiful morning.
Yes, and thank you for being so patient as well.
Yes, and I just looked out my window, and there's this gorgeous hot air balloon going over.
Oh, isn't
pretty
that
pretty amazing?
Isn't that just, I mean, it is. It's when I see those, I see them. I live out in Terrebonne, so we're close to the Smith Rock, and every once in a while, one will come cruising by, and what a picture it is with these,
no kidding.
The beautiful morning, and then there's the Smith Rocks, and here goes this balloon by, and it's just like, wow, do we live in a special place or what?
There's no other place on earth.
This is it, and filled with just wonderful people,
Okay, well, my question this morning, concerns raspberries. I have had growth on my raspberries like I have never had before.
All right.
And it's kind of like, it's a jungle out there.
it can get that way.
And so I'm curious. My inclination is to go in and tip prune, get rid of some of that growth,
yeah.
so I can get through the rows.
Right.
Is that not? I mean, after listening to your pruning advice earlier,
okay.
you know, oh, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Should I or shouldn't I?
No. Let's get in there and get her done. First
okay.
off, you want to remove if you think you're at the end of the rainbow for those canes that you can identify. You should be able to, because they're just going to look older.
Right.
That bore fruit this spring or summer, or you bore and they're done bearing fruit. Let's get rid of those right now.
Okay.
Then I think, in my opinion, you should reduce the number of canes down to 5 to 7 per clump of raspberries.
Okay.
All right. No more than that. If you do, you're going to sacrifice the quantity as well as the quantity in the subsequent following year, 2014.
Okay.
So you're going to be doing a lot of removing there, and it's hard to do. I'm not saying it's easy. You're going to want to put a good pair of gauntleted gloves on. I think that's what they are, the ones that go
right.
up your elbow a little bit so you get all torn to shreds, and have a good pair of pruners, and you're going to get in there and select 5 to 7 of the best and the goodest looking canes that you can find coming out of there, and everybody else, whoosh, they're gone.
Okay. And see, I've always done that in the spring.
Okay. Okay,
but
I think it's easier to do it at this time of the year, because it's fine to do it at this time of the year. It's one more
yeah.
task that you don't have to worry about doing in the spring.
Then
which,
in the spring when everything else
when
is
everything
coming.
Is just going basucamus
yeah.
and whatnot, yes.
Right, yeah.
And it's also easier to identify the better canes at this time of the year versus by the time they go through the wintertime. Sometimes it becomes a little bit more of a muddled thing. And again,
okay.
due to the complexities and all the things that are going on in the springtime, you may not get the job done, and you will be very... Oh, you'll be saddened because the quantity and the quality of the berry are just not going to be there.
Okay.
Yes.
I had wonderful berries this year.
Oh,
I was
cool.
thrilled with that.
Yeah.
But some of the canes that are really long and whippy,
right.
is it if I'm keeping those canes, is it okay to tip prune some
you
of
can,
those
You can
or
tip
not?
Prune. Yes, you can, because that will many times cause lateral breaks in those canes next season, which will be those will be – so you'll potentially get more fruit out of there. So it's fine to do so. Some people don't. But you can do this, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, thank you.
Well, I guess you've got a little Saturday lined up.
Oh, yes. I've always got a Saturday and a weekday lined
yeah.
up in my yard. There's
yeah.
always a little project.
I talk to so many people that are, you know, really gardener-type people. And, you know, talk about having a good friend is you know, when you have the garden as your friend. That just working in your own backyard is just, I mean, it's just, it's better than a trip to the Bahamas, in my opinion.
Oh, it just
you know,
puts
it's just
you
very
in touch
nice.
With everything,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. So, yeah. Well, thanks for calling in and enjoyed
right.
the I could see the smile on your voice as I sit here in the studio.
Oh, you've got it.
All right. You have a good
a
weekend.
Have a wonderful day.
All righty. Bye-bye
Thank
now.
You. Bye-bye.
And there we go. Let's go to line number 2. There we go. Good morning and welcome to Garden Talk.
Well, good morning, Doug. Say, you know, I think you guys got a whole bunch of Ouija boards or something. You're sending telepathic messages to my garden, and my pear tree, which has a lot of nice big pears,
right,
also has blooming blossoms.
Really?
And my apple tree has got blossoms, and my prune tree has got blossoms, and also my blackberries have got blossoms. I'm thinking, you're sending telepathic messages to my garden.
How long have your trees been in?
5-6 years.
Oh, really? Sometimes, yep. and once in a while I hear this, that trees will inadvertently throw out some bizarre blossoms at the end of summer, first part of fall, which is kind of almost where we're at. But many times, it's more on freshly planted trees that only been in maybe a year or two, and they're still kind of confused and trying to figure out what's going on. But a little bit more unusual to have blossoms at this time of the year. What kind of fertilizer do you use?
Oh, I use the cold climate.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
okay.
Cold climate and gold, whatever it is, compost.
Okay. Well, interesting. But so overall, have you got a lot of fruit on your fruit trees this year?
Be a bunch of it.
Wow. Okay. Because again, every year is always a mixed year. Some people got hit by the late frost, etc. Some people have done very well with fruit this year. I talked to one person. They said they got a peach tree. and they're only their second year, and they have had to almost quit their day job to build these little props to hold the branches up because the tree is so young, it's not strong enough to support all the fruit, and they're having to prop this tree up, which is advised too. And they're just so excited, they can't hardly believe it, because when you get fruit peaches in this area, if there's one fruit tree that we sell that always amazes people when they say, well, you know, we want something hardy, and I say, well, if the peach tree is very hardy, will do very well. You don't know if you're going to get past the spring frost, because many times it blooms early, and so many times it becomes a victim of those late frosts and no fruit. But when it bears fruit, boy howdy, there's nothing like it. Oh.
Well, I'm using your formula. If the tree is 10 feet tall,
right,
you need 10 cups of cold climate. So
cool.
I'll put 5 cups on about midsummer, and I'll put the other 5 cups on in the spring. Is that right, or should I do all 10 cups now?
I think you could do all 10 cups now. I think fall fertilization in cold climate areas is the greatest thing that you could ever do to all of your trees, shrubs, sure, flowers, berries, fruit trees, etc. Great time to do so. Whoop, there goes the music.
Oh,
so,
thank you, Doug.
All right, thanks for calling in. Bye-bye now. And there we go. Yes, and the music plays, and sometimes it just interrupts the conversation. That's so rude. Anyway, Garden Talk. We're into it an hour. We only have a half hour to go, so I'm going to ratchet up the conversation here. So stay tuned after the news and weather. We have a lot more to talk about. Issues in the garden and the harvest of it all. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
News Talk 1110 presents Garden Talk with Doug Stott. Central Oregon has unique soil and climate conditions, and Doug is just the man to answer your questions. Call him this morning at 388-1110. The phone will ring until he picks up and puts you on the air. 388-1110, or you can email your comments, talk@kbnd.com. Now, Garden Talk, only on News Talk 1110 KBND.
Good morning to you. This is Doug Stott from the Redmond Greenhouse, in here live with hour number 2 of Garden Talk, a little show about the garden and the landscape and some of the plants, the products, the things we do, timely issues that hopefully will have you more successful, saving you time and money in getting the garden and the landscape up to par. Wow, what a beautiful time of the year. We're rolling off the shoulders of summer. Yeah, fall is going to come, and I have already, I saw a tree. Where was it? I think it was at, it was in Redmond there, at the Fred Meyer store. Check that maple tree as you're going up 97 there, that one on the north end of the row of the building there. Holy doggies, Jethro. Beautiful red color that's starting to come into that tree, as I have seen in various areas of the, garden and landscape. Colors, they're starting to roll in. Very, very beautiful. Just very, very nice. Just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we'll get here as the season progresses. But a wonderful time of the year. I think we start to appreciate a little bit more the times on the patio and the backyard and outdoors, whether we're hiking, climbing, fishing, hunting, rock climbing, you name it. The outdoor activity of the world, Central Oregon here, we do really start to appreciate it just a little bit more. And we're always reminded, usually the deeper we go, the more reminded we will become as the temperatures cool down a little bit more in the morning. And of course, the days are getting shorter. You can't, I'm getting up at 5 o'clock, as I was sharing with Julia there at the first break we had. Wow. I mean, where's my headlamp? And it used to be, it seemed like only moments ago that it was, the sun was up, we were ready to go, and it was just, such a pleasant. But again, we're reminded day in and day out what a spectacular place Central Oregon is. It just is amazing. And to go out into the garden at this time of the year and enjoy the flowers. Had someone in the other day, and they were talking about their dahlias, and they just got so excited. They had never grown dahlias before. I've shared similar stories like this before. And dahlias, they're just amazing. They're a little bit more work, and if you want to save them, you're going to have to, when the frost knocks the plant down, you're going to have to get out there and dig and clean up that bulb and store it if you want to make sure that the bulb, I don't even know if that's, I may have put too much emphasis on that, sure, because you can lift them, store them, and have them rot in the place of storage, and in the springtime, you have nothing but a little powder of poof out there. That's not fun, but the dahlia does have to be taken care of, and many of you have become experts in that area, and many of you growing some show-stopping dahlias, anywhere from the small petite ones to some of the dinner plates and the cactus flowering ones, and the color combinations are just absolutely stunning, and you can cut them. They last in a vase. I mean, they are a designer's dream, absolutely adorning many, many weddings at this time of the year, because dahlias are just gorgeous, and they come, whoa, trigger. You want a color? Dahlias, you're going to find it. It's there. They are just amazing. And, of course, following in the heels, as long as we're touched on the wedding day just a little bit, hydrangeas. So many of you have found out that a variety of hydrangeas will just perform to no end in Central Oregon. They're just amazing. The variety is small, but there are many out there. Used to be just one. It was called a PG hydrangea. The blossom was small, about the size of a snowball bush bloom, all right? But it was still nice, and it bloomed late in the season, and they seemed to be impervious to insects and disease. The deer don't really like them too much. Every once in a while I hear a story of someone that the deer got into their hydrangea, but they're not sought out big time. It just kind of happened. It was a casual crunch here and a crunch there, or the youngsters, the fawns got into it because they haven't developed an appetite yet. But yeah, it took them down. But oh, the hydrangea is just amazing. My elder son was talking to, I convinced him to plant a new one, which is called Phantom. And as you can imagine, it's white. A little bit of a hint into it, and as the blossoms mature, I think a little bit more hint of pink and or sometimes a little bit of a lime color will creep in. First year planted, plants are already up, he said, probably at least 5 feet. So many blooms, you can't even count them. Very dramatic, very spectacular. And that plant, and I put a lot of emphasis when I'm talking about this plant, because it is such a grand plant for this area and for this time of the year. So many plants now have finished or are starting to fade in the garden and or landscape. And the hydrangea, whoa, it's just double clutching right now. Yeah, it's just coming on strong. So you have got to consider putting one of those in at this time, even at this time of the year. If you haven't done so, you may want to take a look at that. Visit your garden center, see what's available. I love the one that's also called Pinky Winky. Very tough, very hardy, and it, as the name implies, yeah, there's some nice pink in it. Nice plant, great plant for this area. Tough, hardy, durable, deer-resistant, drought-tolerant, once established. It just, when you're first planting it, you just got to pay attention. A lot of compost, heavy feeder. But if you got a blank place in the garden or landscape someplace and you're looking for a late summer, and this thing will bloom all the way through until the freezes come in. Not the frost, but the freezes come in and take it down. And then the blossom itself will still be, it'll be there. It's going to be brown, but it still shows up on the plant. Very great plant. I cannot put enough emphasis in. I just think it belongs in your garden or landscape. So take a little peek-see and see if you have a little corner out there someplace where you could put it in. And again, with that, I'm going to remind you that we are coming into one of the greatest planting times that there is. It's just phenomenal. But don't procrastinate. Now is it, if you're going to do so, you're seeing a place where you want to add a flowering tree, maybe a tree that's going to give you some fall color, just you need a shade tree. Great time of the year to plant because the soil is warm, the weather is just, you will not get planting weather like this in the springtime. I can guarantee you that. That I can guarantee you. And the roots will have more than adequate time to get in and get established. Yes, they will, before winter sets in. And so, yeah, so I'm just saying, yeah, you can't leave for at least another half hour anyway, but then you grab that shovel and head out there and start digging and planting because it's a great time. And it won't be long that it will also be time to put in the tulips and the daffodils and the crocus and a few other miscellaneous bulbs out there, but not too early. Be up. Be careful now. If you get them planted too early, and sometimes some of the mass merchandisers get the bulbs in way too early. And if planted, not only did they, I think they probably harvested, because that's a conversation among a lot of people that kind of have a little bit of savvy on the bulbs. If they're harvested too early, they were forced down, and they're probably not going to be as good a quality bulb. So make sure that you can see the bulb and feel the bulb, and it is large by the largest bulb you can get, and it should be solid, it should be firm, but be cautious in planting it too early, because if you do, then you get those bulbs planted, and guess what's going to happen? You got to plant them, you got to water them in, and they're going to start to grow. And actually, I've many times, happens every single year, there's foliage coming up out of these plants, and that's not what you want, because that bulb then is just using a lot of the energy that is stored within it that was supposed to be reserved for the spring season. Now it's coming on now. That's not so good. That's not so good. So plant them later. As they start to roll into the garden centers, which they will this month, you may want to put them in a cool place and store them for a little bit. It's typically not what I say, but in the case of the fall bulbs and a little early, that's what I'll say. And then plant them a little bit later, which delays them from coming up and using energy that should be reserved for spring. And that way, then you'll be home free. So a lot of good planting season getting ready to come on board right now. Just amazing. Just amazing. And for those of you in the fringe areas that can get early frost, some of you have already been there. Again, but a reminder to those that haven't been, but it's coming. It is coming, and you need to prepare yourself. You need to be watching for those plants that you need to protect, that you're hoping to bring inside. A lot of people have some of the citrus plants out on their deck and patio. Whoa, don't let them freeze. Oh, my gosh. And some of the other plants, the mandevilles, bougainvilles, that you are hoping to bring into the home for the wintertime. You've got to monitor those, because I'll tell you, that frost can come in and it can cause, I'm not saying it would kill them, but oh, dang, it's not going to make them look very pretty. So yeah. We're coming to that time of the year. We're coming to the crossroads where the nights are getting cooler and colder, and they're going to start to see some frosts and freezes in places. Again, depending upon where you live, off far to the west, on to the south as the elevation rises. Those are the first areas that you got to watch. For those of us that live like where I do in Terrebonne, I know we're still basking. I suppose we'll probably brag now and again that what's going on. But be cautious, be careful. It is getting to be that time of the year. With that, we need to slow down. We need to hear from some of our important sponsors. Having to speed through a lot of things here, as I shared with you before, we are going to run a half hour short of this show due to programming changes and the Ducks and their pre-show, etc. So, I'm going to have to ratchet up my conversation. Anyway, we've got sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You can grow it right here in Central Oregon. Call 388-1110 or email talk@kbnd.com. Now, back to Garden Talk with Doug Stott on News Talk 1110 KBND.
And this show also brought to you in part by Redmond Greenhouse. And we invite you to swing on by. We are coming into one of the greatest planting times there is. Trees, shrubs, and flowers. We have some hot sales going on board right now. Fountains, different perennials, trees, some fruit trees. We have some fruit trees, 10, 20 bucks and whatnot that have been marked down. Great time of the year to plant. And our selection of things that will color up in the fall, we got them in stock, the burning bushes, the hydrangeas, the ornamental grasses. Excellent selection of ornamental grasses. Talk about something that I think gives dramatic texture and color to the garden and landscape, and on top of the amazing time of the year to plant. So you will want to swing out to the Redmond Greenhouse and take advantage of some of the sales and some of the excitement that goes on there. And as I mentioned earlier, the heirloom organic garlic and shallots are in. It is time to gather that up if you love that stuff. And oh boy, do people love to grow the garlic in this area. It does so well. And shallots are an emerging thing, not near as popular as garlic, but we bring them in and gaining in popularity. A lot of people returning to the kitchen and finding shallots are so amazing. So amazing. And when you grow your own, oh, good gosh, all Friday. Good stuff. So Redmond Greenhouse is also the home to garlic and shallot starts, and it's time to plant those. If you're needing a few water plants, water lilies, and marginal plants, we have a lot of hardy varieties. They're also on a great sale and closeout. Roses are finishing up the sale on those. And if you're looking to kind of spice up the flower beds and the borders, the flowering cabbage, the flowering kale, some of the perennial asters that are just amazing, and some of the new and smiling faces of pansies and violas, hey, it's all the call of fall at the Redmond Greenhouse, and we invite you to swing by. Well, as I said earlier in the show, we're going to be cut short about a half an hour, so I don't know. It only gives us about 5 or 6 minutes left here of conversation, so we just so many things to talk about. So on your list of things to do, for those of you that have fruit trees, you're going to want to make sure you have adequate supply of dormant oil and lime sulfur. No, it's not time to spray yet, but when it is, you want to make sure that you have those ingredients in your garden cupboard under lock and key to keep the kids out, of course. Dormant oil and lime sulfur, or actinivate, which many of you are switching over to in the terms of the fungicide sprays for your fruit trees. Very good, very preventative medicine. That's a good thing. And those will be applied when you have about 80% leaf fall. So we're still a ways out there. But I, you know, that's what this show is about, is planting the seed now so you're ready to go when the time is right. As I was talking in our spot, we are coming into a phenomenal time for fall planting. If you would like to add a new tree, a shrub, a flower, a perennial or something in the garden landscape, beautiful time to do so. You will gain almost a full year's worth of growth of planting anywhere from now through, I guess, whenever the ground freezes up. So keep that in mind. Don't procrastinate. If you're going to want to plant, now's the time to do it. If you want to do a little lawn seeding, putting in a new lawn, overseeding, great time to do so. Soil's warm, water's warm, weather's warm, grass will germinate very quickly. It will be quite established before fall, late fall, cold fall, and winter slips in. Amazing time of the year to do that. Planting wildflower seed, oh my gosh, what a great time. What a great time to put the seed in. Again, planting at this time of the year, you'll scatter your wildflowers out there. Good blends out there. There's a lot out there. Check your garden center. See what they have in stock for you. Low growing, drought tolerant, shade lovers, all annual mixes that bloom all season long. Great time to plant them. Plant them now. They germinate. They will get established before winter comes in. Next year, most of them are perennial. They will come back next year, and you will say, "Whoo, doggies. We should have probably planted a few more of those seeds." So a great time to do that at the same time. Also a good time, continue to monitor those plants that you have to make sure that they are free of insects and disease. Warm weather, it brings a lot of those insects in and disease this time of the year. Make sure you address those situations. Please don't go under the auspice that you can just, it's getting late in the season, we'll be okay. No, you don't want to do that, in my opinion, because those then will carry over. The infestation is going to enlarge itself, and you're going to have more issues the following year. I hear this time and time. Oh, we never had a problem before. Monitor your garden, your landscape, all your flowers, your herbs, everything. Monitor it very closely. Take care. Be preventative if you can, and don't let any of those populations explode. Maintain a clean and tidy garden landscape. If you have some big disease issues, big insect issues where you actually have to get very drastic, any leaves and debris that come from that attack site, make sure you dispose of them properly, because that will lessen the impact of that disease carrying over. And just a side note, which I always toss in side notes because I think they're very important, keep track. Keep a garden diary a little bit, if you would be so kind. Rotate your crops the following season. That's what you want to do. Little things that you can do to have a better garden and or landscape and whatnot. Very, very important right there. All right? So these are just some of the things that are going on. Great time of the year, as I say. It's an amazing time of the year, and we get to enjoy it so much. And you're out there harvesting. If I can share one other last little story that is kind of going on. I have no idea when all of a sudden we'll break in and we'll break away from the station here and half an hour short. I picked my first corn on the cob just the other day. Oh my gosh. And one called Ambrosia. Some of you I know are planting it because we've been selling it now for several years. I typically don't plant corn on the cob. It takes up a lot of space, takes a lot of water. But there was a full flat back there that we offer them as starter plants in spring at the business. and it would just sit in there. It looked like it was going to go begging. So, I guess we'll go ahead and do it. Tilled two rows, about 20 foot long each, dumped in 15 pounds of that cold climate fertilizer in each of the rows, put in about 6 inches of compost, tilled that up, and then set those plants out individually, which is a plus because then I got to space them. We know how spacing goes when we're planting corns and carrots. Always, always way too close. I'm amazed. Corn got up to at least probably 7, 8, maybe even taller. And the ears of corn, I picked some the other night. I had to sit there and just smile because it just like, wow, this is amazing. And then, of course, it hit the boiling water and subsequently they're gone. Well, the chickens are enjoying the end product right there, but it was outstanding corn. So the harvest is going along very, very nicely at this time of the year. A lot of green beans going on. Again, just monitor, watch closely for insects and disease. Keep neat and tidy. Try to process. And if you are processing, if you're canning some of the stuff, make sure you're careful. Be very careful. Make sure you follow all the precautions. A lot of great sites out there on how to properly can and put food up, and a lot of you are doing that. In fact, I've got a load of pears in the dryer right now. Love dried pears. And yes, on my wife's behalf this year, yeah, I peeled them this year is what I did. I hear the music, and that is the final music. So for those of you who didn't catch the note, yeah, we're running a half hour short this morning, and Cooking with Julia has been preempted here. We got the financial show that's going to be moved up a little bit quicker, so a little change in the format to accommodate the quackers out there, the ducks, the Oregon ducks, and be playing a little bit earlier, so they kind of move the programming in this week and next week as well. So hope you enjoyed this show. I did. Hey, we'll see you next Saturday. Thanks so much for listening. Get out there and smile somewhere.